Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to study the biblical book of Daniel, lesson 12. From north and south to the beautiful land. Chapter 11 of the book of Daniel is one of the most challenging chapters in the Bible. Prophecies about Persia and Greece. When we read the first verses of the 11th chapter of Daniel, we find elements which are not difficult to understand. We are in the history of the area when Babylon had fallen, when Persia took over the kingdom. And here on this map, we see the green area of the Persian kingdom. And here in these first verses, Gabriel tells what happened and for Daniel what will happen. Because for Daniel all these elements were in the future. And he is informed the Persian kingdom, which is just being started in the moment when Daniel was about to die, it will disappear as Babylonia had disappeared. When Persia had become very, very big, they started to attack Greece, which is, of course, a very tiny area. But the Persians did not succeed, and in the end, the Greek, especially the Macedonian people, united with the Greeks, came over and Alexander the Great, and they won against Persia. It's like David against Goliath. The little area of Greek and Macedonia and the big one of Persia. And it was a surprise. And it happened. It was prophesied and it happened. And in verse 4 we read, "And when he shall stand up," we think of Alexander the Great, "his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven." When Alexander died, he divided his kingdom among four of his army officers. And we see these divisions on the little maps below. So the biggest part is the brown one, which came to the Seleucids. Here, an important part came to Egypt under the family of the Ptolemies. One part Greece. And the orange rest, got another one. And these four army officers, so in the beginning, they were in a way friends, but this changed after the years, and then wars broke out. And Syria and Egypt became the leading powers of the area. We see after some centuries how this went on, as we can see here, brown area, Syria, and Egypt. And because of this detailed, precise information, as we have already found it in chapter 2 and 7 and 8, we see here are parallels. It's the same history which is retold under different symbols. And it's amazing that it happened as it was foretold. Prophecies of Syria and Egypt. So in the following verses, in Daniel chapter 11, from 5 to 14, we hear about the history of these areas here, as we see it on the small maps below. These families which came out of the army officers of Alexander the Great, they had all the same idea to win land, to gain riches, to become more prominent, bigger, great. And this can only happen if you win in battles against a neighbor, a kingdom which is in the neighborhood. And these attacks and battles and wars went on and on for centuries. When we look back at it, we see it didn't bring very much for them. The area of Egypt is nearly the same, and the area of Syria, it changed a little bit, but in the main areas, everything the same. Although many, many, many soldiers lost their lives in these battles. It was foretold, the king of the north, Syria, will come down to the king of the south, Egypt. And the area of Israel, it was always in between. When you think of a burger you can buy, so you have bread, and in the middle, what you would like to eat else. And Israel is like the middle part. There are elements in the north and in the south, the king of the north and of the south, and in the middle, Israel. And in a way, it is not easy for Israel to be in the middle, because these powers in the north and south, they usually have armies which are much, much bigger than Israel's army. So in those days, Israel was pressed between Egypt and Syria. During this time, we have Israel as a country which is under the dominion of other peoples. So they have never ever succeeded to have a king of their own. There was only a short period among the Maccabeans when it happened to free themselves a little bit. When we read these verses in Daniel 11, we are amazed how precisely this history is prescribed, what will happen between
battles of the king of the north and the king of the south, and how this happened to and fro. Sometimes the one of the north was stronger than the one of the south, but in the end, not much gain. Not for the one and not for the other. And God knew it in advance. And that's what amazes me. He knew it in advance. He's the God of history. He knows how peoples will behave. He knows how kings will act. And he knows the outcome of everything. And for centuries ahead. That's astonishing, isn't it? So God knows your future and your life. So trust in him. He is the best advisor because he knows the future. Rome and the Prince of Covenant. Now the next kingdom, the one who won against the Greeks, the Romans appeared on the scene. We see the area of the Roman kingdom here on this map. Now we see a shift from the east to the west. So in those days of the three former kingdoms, we come to Greek as the western border, but now we arrive in Spain and Portugal as the western border. So there's a shift from Asia to Europe, which is clear when we can see that Rome is in the center and it wanted to win all the territories around Rome. Now what is most important, that during the Roman reign, during the Roman Empire, Jesus was born. So when the Romans were in Palestine, and they had already been there for 100 years, when Jesus appeared on the scene in this area here, and when we imagine, it was a Roman officer, Pontius Pilate, who were the highest chief in Israel in those days. And the Jews were not allowed to kill someone. Although they have condemned Jesus in their Sanhedrin, as the word is in Hebrew, their highest council, they were not allowed to kill someone. So they had to go to Pilate to ask him, could you please sanctify our judgment? And Pilate was the one who asked them, what is the accusation against Jesus? And this was a question which was difficult to answer. So what is the accusation? What has Jesus done? Yeah, the blind can see now, the lame can go now, the dumb can hear, and those who couldn't speak, now they're able to. Yet even dead people began to live again. They were risen from the dead. So, from death. So, what could you say against Jesus? What is the accusation? And this was the question. What is your accuse against Jesus? And they answered in a wise way, if this person weren't a criminal, we wouldn't have brought him to you. But Pilate asks again the same question. What excuse do you have? Yes, and then they tell lies. But Pilate doesn't believe them. And he asks Jesus himself, are you a king? Jesus says, yes, I am. But my kingdom is not of this planet. His kingdom is a little bit bigger. It's the universe. And he's the head of the universe. And Pilate doesn't really understand what does that mean. But he's sure this person hasn't done anything wrong. So when he comes back to the Jews, he tells them, I cannot blame him in anything. But the Jews, they want Jesus to die. And therefore, they tell Pilate, if you are not willing to crucify him, we will travel to Rome. We will tell the emperor about the activities here in Palestine. And then you will lose your job. You can be sure about that. And Pilate didn't want to lose his job. He knew if they went to Rome, he will be in difficulty. He will be in trouble. So therefore, he was willing to crucify Jesus. But he washed his hands in the bowl and said, I am not to be blamed because of the blood of this person. I did not want to kill him. I did not want to crucify him. It's your fault. And he said, okay, his blood shall be on our kids. What a sentence. And they experienced this. It came to this point. The next power. So in 10:11, it is prophesied as in chapter 2 and 7 and 8 that the Roman kingdom will disappear as well. Although it was so mighty for many, many centuries, 1,000 years. And it was because of the Huns, which appeared about 375 from Inner Asia, and like a storm wind on their horses, pressed unto Europe. And the German tribes settling in the area north of the Roman kingdom, they were driven in front of the Huns. And the German tribes, they wanted to get into the Roman kingdom because of the Huns behind them. And therefore the West Roman Empire collapsed in the end, 476 after Christ. And on the area of the Western Roman Empire, German kingdoms of German tribes were established, as we see on the next map here. And this went on, as we can see here, but the Eastern Roman Empire still remained. That's interesting. Here we have it surrounded with a yellow color. And there was an emperor of the Eastern Roman Empire, Justinian, and he managed, and this is important, to win back Italy from the Goths, the German tribe. as we can see on this map.
So the Eastern Roman Empire succeeded in nearly winning back many parts of the Western Roman Empire. But only for a short time, only for the time of this emperor. But now something very, very important happened. During the reign of this king of the Eastern Roman Empire, when the Goths were driven away from Italy again, the emperor, he did something very, very important. He raised the Bishop of Rome above all other bishops of the area, being the Bishop of Rome, the chief of all the bishops in the area, in this Western Kingdom. So this was the start of the papacy, an Eastern Roman emperor set the starting point for the papacy. He made a law about this in 533 after Christ, and in 538, when the Goths had been driven away from Rome, it became reality. So in 538, the 1260 years prophecy starts, which ended in 1798, when Napoleon drove the Pope away from Rome. So for more than 1,000 years, the papacy came up and was the boss of all religions in Europe, Western Europe. But not even that the papacy is the boss of religions on a continent. It falsified the correct system. Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross, and this was enough forever. But the Roman sacrifice and the Roman Mass, it's something which happens each time when the ceremony happens. Wine and bread to turn the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. So the Roman priest, in a way, sacrifices Jesus again and again and again and again. Also Paul has told us in the book of Hebrews in chapter 9, that Christ's death, that Christ's sacrifice was enough once and forever. But the papacy changed this to ever and ever and ever and ever again. So it's an attack on heaven, on the God of heaven. Jesus said, you should no one call Holy Father, but the Pope, that's his name. So we see here that a falsified religious system is established, and we find it in Daniel chapter 11. Final events. In Daniel chapter 11, we find many, many elements of history. And in a way, it's a repetition, parallelism to chapter 2 and 7 and 8. So we have these kingdoms, Babylonia, Persia, Greece, Rome. Then the papacy. But here, in verse 40 of chapter 11, we read, and at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind. Now, remember, king of the south and king of the north. Okay, this was about Syria and Egypt, and they had battles all the time for centuries. But here, at the time of the end, the king of the north and the south, they came together. So what's going on here at the time of the end? Syria and Egypt, they are no more big powers anymore. So this must be a symbolism. What does the king of the north stand for and the king of the south? What is meant by these words? We like to define this. Now, when Peter wrote his first letter, we find in the last chapter, in the last verses, chapter 5, greetings from Peter to this person and those persons from Babylon. From Babylon? He's never been to Babylon. And then we find in some Bibles, for example, there is a Roman Catholic edition of the Bible called Einheitsbibel, Bible of Unity. And there in the footnote we find Babylon, code name for Rome. Ah, now we understand. So the king of the north, Babylon, this is a symbol for the papacy. And the king of the south, this is a symbol for a political power. And by the time of the end, we have a great religious power and a great political power. And we see them here in the maps. The political power, United States of America. Boss of the world in political reasons. And here on this map is a map of religions. And we see here the different Christian religions. The Roman Catholic color is pink, Protestantism is red, and Orthodoxy is orange. Muslims, green. Hinduists, blue. Buddhism, orange. Shintoists, Japan. Lamaists, here. And the tendency of the papacy for the last days is to perform something which happened during the Middle Ages all the time. There was a worldly power and a religious power, the papacy and the emperor in Germany, family of Habsburg, which reigned for 600 years. These religious and political power, sometimes in combination, sometimes against each other, but most of the time, they together reigned the people, the peoples. And in the end, we have the same to end. Two main powers, one of religion, one of states, they unite themselves to be the kings of this world, till Jesus comes, as we can see on this piece of art by Maximilian Janscher, an Austrian artist, Seventh-day Adventist. We thank him for painting all these pieces of art for us. In the end, Jesus, at his second return, will take over all
these kingdoms, uniting them in his kingdom, a new one, where peace and safety will reign forever. Summary.
Chapter 11 in the book of Daniel is one of the most challenging for all theologians. In a way, it's very easy when you start in the beginning to look in a book of history and then you see, here were the Persians, and then came Alexander the Great, and then his four army officers, and then the Syrians and the Egyptians, and they fought against each other, king of the north and king of the south. And then we find the Romans, and that during the reign of the Romans, Jesus was born, the Prince of the Covenant. And up to the Romans and to the Prince of Covenant, in a way, it's not so difficult to interpret this chapter. But the longer the chapter lasts, the more difficult it will be to find out what is meant here. Then we find how in the Middle Ages the system of papacy and European emperor, how they reigned together, being the bosses for the people. But in the end time, it will be really challenging for God's people. Because the greatest political power, the United States of America, and the greatest power of all religions, denominations, the papacy, they will form a duo. And the interest of Pope Francis is the following. He wants to unite, so the pink color with the red one, Protestantism. Pink is Roman Catholicism. Here the orange, Russian Orthodoxy, Greek Orthodoxy, and so on. He wants to unite all the Christian religions unto his feet. And he wants even to unite all the religions under his umbrella. Muslims, Hinduists, Buddhists, Shintoists, all of them coming together, and he, the big, big, big boss above all religions. That's his aim. And it seems he will succeed. His smiling tells us he will succeed. And he smiles all the day, wherever he is, smiling, "You will come under my umbrella." And in the same way, the United States, they unite all the states under their umbrella. And together, they want to reign this world. But when we look at the prophecy, there is another one. And he will be the winner in the end. Now, important is, chances are this happen in Revelation 19. Jesus coming on a white horse, and the heavenly cavalry behind him. A cavalry in those times, 2,000 years ago, when the Apostle John lived, a cavalry was the most important power in a military battle. Because horses, they're quick, and the soldiers on it, they're much higher than you when you stand on the ground, and a horse, a group of horses, ridden by soldiers, they can just trod you under their feet. So it was an enormous power in a cavalry. But nowadays, this would be tanks or
jets in the air which attack. But one aspect is the most important one. Whatever people on this earth try to be in the first place, whatever they try to reign this planet, in the end, all of them will disappear, and only one kingdom will remain, and that's the one of Jesus Christ. So it's good for us if we are in time on the right side with the winner of everything, the one who sacrificed himself, that you can see he proved it by his death. He loves you. Come to him. He's waiting for you. You will answer, "Here I am, Lord." Thank you for saving my soul because your blood.